Able to sing like angels or to preach like Paul, but we can tell the love of Jesus and say he died for all. I was thinking of that last line of one of the great hymns that we have learned to love and made a part of our lives through all of the years that we have been living. The last stanza of Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years. Your time is of the essence to us here. We, all of us, realize that. It's uncommon for us to find time or take the time that we really need. Things that we ought to do so far as our meditation and our concentration and think about heavenly things. When we've been there 10,000 years, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. That's a great prospect, a wonderful hope toward which our focus really needs to be turned. I'm reading today a story from, well, a few verses from 2 Kings chapter 5. It concerns a man in a very bad situation, and it concerns a little girl, 12 years of age, who saw through all of this man's problems and needs, and somehow mustered the faith to believe that just one person could make a difference in his life. Naaman, the great captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man and mighty in valor, the scripture says. But he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid who served as Naaman's wife, or went as the maid to Naaman's wife, who helped Naaman's wife. And she said unto her, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Now we turn over to the fifth chapter of the Gospel recorded by St. Mark for another story. Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 25. And hopefully the idea is to connect these stories together so that you and I can see that when we move by simple childlike faith, God takes that faith and performs miracles with it. Beginning with verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better for it, but rather the worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, who touched My clothes? And His disciples said unto Him, thou seest the multitudes thronging thee? And why askest thou who touched thee? And He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But when the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him, she told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole, whole, of thy plague, and be healed of thy plague. In life, we come across many gifts. We receive many gifts, G-I-F-T-S. There is the gift of life. There is the gift of love. There is the gift of friendship. There is the gift of salvation. There is the gift of expectancy or expectation. And each one of these within itself is a direct blessing from God that you and I can use to our own growth and our maturing in the community and in the church and our maturing in life. I would think that of all the gifts that God has given to us, and this includes, mind you, the gift of life, a very precious gift indeed. For we cannot but have any lingering suspicion or doubt but what God made us. And we looked at that last Sunday evening a little. For the Scriptures say that it is God who hath made us and not we ourselves. So the gift of life is a very precious gift. And there's any number of things that we can talk about so far as the gift of life is concerned. Number one, we need to accept it. And I'm not going through all the alphabet, but number two, we need to not only accept it, but we need to better it. Number three, we need to consecrate it. Number four, we need to dedicate it. Number five, we need to expend it. And on we could go. The gift of life is a very precious gift. But I would think that among the gifts that are bestowed upon us, that none can compare with the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation. What an unspeakable and almost indescribable gift the gift of salvation is. And you know that that is made available for every person on this earth. This is why Jesus came, lived among us, suffered and died and rose again, that you and I may be freed from the slave market of sin. There on the cross, suffering in anguish and agony and pain, they asked Him if He needed some rescue. He said, no. But He could have called 10,000 angels to His rescue. Why is it that you willingly laid down your life, that you voluntarily offer yourself in the place of someone else? And Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The love gift, the gift of salvation, the gift of life after this physical existence is over. I think quite often that we miss the point when we talk about everlasting life and eternal life so fast that we don't let it soak in and sink in. This gift that God gives to us, the gift of salvation, is an ongoing thing. No cessation. No end to it. It is forever and forever. And when we began to fathom something of its depth and its meaning, even physical life for us will take on a new perspective. It'll take on new luster, new meaning, even a new existence. Gift of salvation is a most precious thing. But we want to consider together this morning for this little while the gift of expectation. Expectation. Now, what is expectation? Well, you look in the dictionary and you will find that it means an imminent suspense. An imminent happening. Something that's just about to take place. It is hope in action. Expectancy. It is looking with intensity of desire for an event that is to appear at any moment. Expectancy. It is anticipation of something to come. It is the prospect of something good that's about to take place. Now, if you and I lived in that spirit, wouldn't that change us even on our way to worship? If we had that possession. In the first story that I read to you, here was this man of great military might and splendor. His armament, his military uniform was shining with great brilliance. And he was an outstanding person. He had been used mightily. But, there's always a but there, he was a leper. There was a little young girl, a maid, who came out of the land of Israel. And as you study the Scripture, you cannot help but to ask, why was this little girl there in that place at that particular time? Oh, There must have been something in the infinite wisdom of God to place that little maid from Israel in that setting at that time. And she expressed expectancy. Now some would say, well, she was just doing this because she was a very gracious kind of person and she had a feeling for Naaman. She wanted him to be better than he was. And she moved. She said, would to the Lord that this prophet Elisha could look upon this scene. For I just happen to believe 12 years of age, 12 years old, I just happen to believe that Elisha could make a difference in the life of Naaman. There is something better for him than leprosy. And when you look at that, friend, you will be forced to believe that with all of the security and certainties that you have now, there is something a little better for you. For God makes it so. Expectancy, in the first place, is redemptive. Here in this fifth chapter of the Gospel recorded by Mark, this lady had a very real problem. A problem that had plagued her for 12 years, the Scriptures say. You know of people, and so do I, that have been sick that long or longer. And their sickness has diminished them physically. It is eating away at them. But here was a lady with a problem of losing blood. And the Scriptures tell us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And this constant, nagging, weakening problem had persisted for 12 long years. There's very few of us that I know about that could afford to lose blood for 12 minutes. Let alone 12 years. And she had made an honest effort to seek a cure. And the Scriptures say, as I read to you, that she had gone to many physicians, and the physicians there in the Jewish nation in those days were well trained like many of our physicians, but they lacked some degree of compassion. Not only had she gone to the physicians and had allowed them to experiment and order different diagnoses for her problem, her disease, but she had spent everything she had on physicians. Anybody ever hear of that? Anybody ever get into that condition? That's what the Scriptures say. And not only that, but the Scriptures also say in that same verse that she was left none the better for it. In reality, the Scripture says even worse than she was before. something happened to this lady. She saw in the distance a crowd that had assembled. And the crowd was increasing. She had heard of a man called Jesus. And Jesus was on His way, going to carry out another mercy mission to the house of Jairus. Jairus said, "My daughter is sick." As a matter of fact, some said she's sick unto death. And others said she is dead. And so here are two miracles within one. Jesus on His way to the house of Jairus. And here comes the woman with the issue of blood, afflicted. Month after month, day after nagging day, with the loss of blood from her life. Do we actually believe the Scriptures? Is this recorded in the Holy Bible? Do we have access to the same source of help that she was seeking? That's the question we need to ask every day of our lives. And she saw the multitudes gathering and gathering, and somehow she wanted to lose herself unobtrusively in the multitude. And she said, with a sense of hope and expectancy, "Oh, if I could but touch the hem of His garment." Friends, that is dependency. That is expectancy. How many of us could believe, hope against hope, that if only we could touch the hem of His garment, something wonderful, something glorious would happen to us. If I could but touch the hem of His garment. That is expectancy. Secondly, not only is expectancy redemptive, but expectancy is contagious. Also following along in the wake, turn over to the 9th chapter of the Gospel recorded by Matthew, verses 27 and following, and you will find the story of the blind men following along. And they too said, "O Jesus, Thou Son of King David, have mercy on us." Expectancy is contagious. It is redemptive. Some of us are old enough to remember, perhaps there may have been some there, I do not know. Remember those magnetic words that have so etched themselves upon the conscience of men that we cannot get away from them. Those words uttered by General Douglas MacArthur when Japan had occupied the Philippines. And Douglas MacArthur made those immortal words, "I shall return." And electrified the hope and the desire and the expectancy of hundreds of thousands in World War II. What assurance did he have that he would return? Who gave him any degree of certainty that any number of things would not wipe his life out? Say what you want and what you please and what you must. He must have had an inbred conviction that hundreds of thousands of people were expecting his return, for him to make good on his promise. And he did what he said he would do. Well, well, well. We have a greater than Moses and a greater than MacArthur who's made the same claim and the same promise. I shall return. And then lastly, expectancy is a gift. It is a gift from God. This little 12-year-old maiden could not have possibly inspired the great general and confirmed that the prophet Elisha could do anything without there was a deep burning desire in her heart to see good happen. Expectancy, what is it? It's the prospect and the hope that something good is about to happen. I want to tell you, friends, that would change forever the atmosphere, the attitude, that would raise the temperature of the spiritual life within our church. If you and I could have that sense of expectancy. Instead of going about in the same old doldrum, monotonous routine, defeatist attitude, negativistic, and by that I mean negative, won't happen, can't do it, won't be done, can't be done. If we would assert the positive and believe against all the odds and the opposing powers that God longs and God hopes and God desires and God wants something good, something good to happen to you, to me, to every one of us. It would change us. And the Scriptures tell us that when Naaman came and did what he was commanded to do, that he was healed and his leprosy departed and he was made clean and as white as snow. Do we believe this morning? May we each one say, yes, Lord. Lord, we believe. Help thou our unbelief. We do believe that God can and He will do something good for each one of us. May we stand. We turn to our hymn of invitation. And you who are here longing and desiring greater peace, greater comfort, more hope, if you need to come, we want you to feel free to do that. Some decision you need to make, you come. The Lord will bless you. And in the meantime, bless all of us together as together we sing.